When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
To the Atlanta Podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis. How about that music? That's just a little sneak preview. It's not even quite finalized yet. And once it's finalized, I will let you know the artist from which it comes from as one of the dreams, if you will, I had. Dreams, kind of a big word. One of the ideas I had when launching this was that this ATL podcast would not only put out Atlanta-based content, but actually bring in Atlanta-based content, meaning the person who's going to write the theme show for this song has been chosen, and he's going to write the intro and the outro, and it will be so until further notice. So that's just a smidgen of it, and as I said, when it's finalized, we'll get the official word, we'll blow him up, and you'll hear, I'll link it in every show. I'm also looking for art, cover art, if you will. So I've got some idea logos in mind. But if you're the fan of the show and you're an artist or you know someone, like you're a fan of the show and you're like, oh, I know this guy who would want to make art for the show. Mind you, this is not art we're going to pay for, so they got to be willing to do it out of their own good hearts and knowing that they will be blown up through this show for their badass art. So there you go. That's that. On today's episode, Diamond Dallas Page. Now, if you're not a wrestling fan, it doesn't matter. Because this is a story of success, of hard work, of comebacks, of not giving up, of not being afraid to do something later in life, all the above. If you're a wrestling fan, double bonus for you. It's DDP, well-known wrestler, really awesome guy. So I want to give a couple of props before we get into it. One, my girl Amy, my homegirl Amy Mathis, posted that she was doing DDP yoga in Marietta, or Smyrna, and my brain went, ding, that's a guy you could have on the show. So I reached out through Facebook or Instagram. They said, absolutely, come to a session of DDY, DDPY yoga, and we'll have a mat with your name on it. And sure enough, I got there, literally a mat with my name on it. I did it. It was a lot of fun. I sweated. I stretched. It was super cool. I probably will do some online stuff. I do not think I'm going to drive there. A bit too far to drive for me. Also want to give a shout out to DM Galloway. We'll show notes him. We'll link him in the show notes. He made some really cool stop motion photography. What do you call it? MTV. What was the name of that show? Oh my God. I can't believe I can't think of the name of the show. I'll probably think of it by the outro. He made some cool stuff, and he was sitting there with us during the interview. And you may hear him a couple of times, and then there's a couple of times he spoke off mic, and I couldn't get the mic over there fast enough. So don't yell at me. It's what happens when there's somebody sitting in the room sometimes. No big deal. Anyhow, but we'll link him in the show, and it was fun to have him there too. And just big thanks to Diamond Dallas Page for and his people for making it so easy, making me feel welcome, and allowing this interview to happen. And it was super cool. So, without further ado, Diamond Dallas Page, away we go. So, thanks for having me, dude. I saw the videos way back when. Who's the gentleman that everybody got inspired by?
Disabled veteran, Arthur Borman.
Right. So, I saw those a while ago. Didn't think much of it. I've seen, like, Jake's story. I guess that's been a couple years now.
Jake's story started in 2012. The documentary came out in 15, And we, because, you know, it was really by 2013, Jake had gone into the Hall of Fame. So 2014 he went. So I guess we came out in 2015. That, what's so great is now that it's on Netflix, so many people see it, you know. And
what's the name of it so people can know, they can find it on Netflix?
The Resurrection of Jake the Snake right now. If you know how to pull up, you know, back when I had the 5-star thing and everything, we were the second highest rated documentary, sports documentary, on Netflix. And when you think of it, first of all, Netflix made documentaries cool. No, they're the ones who did it. And they have the greatest sports documentaries ever.
I concur.
You know, and for us to be rated at number two is just mind-boggling to me. And we are the number one highest rated biopic. I'm gonna turn that off.
It's okay. Who were you number two behind for
you know, I can't remember now. You know, someone asked me that the other day, so I had to go on there and look again.
You're just happy you got the stat. But anyway, but so I forgot you lived here, okay? And then my friend Amy posted, just did DDP, and I was like, oh my God, I got to go check that out.
Oh, so wait a minute. So she had posted she'd come here to the Performance Center?
Yeah, like whenever the last time you taught was.
Oh, right.
And that's okay. What reminded me. And first of all, I'm sure you know this, but you got great people. You know, they don't know who I was. They wrote me right back. They said, hey, welcome. They said, we'll have a mat with your name on it. I didn't know that was literal. I showed up. There's a mat with my name on it.
Well, yeah, I don't know when people, first of all, like we have to, when we're filming, like for the DDP Yoga Now app, live workouts come out every single week. So there was 43 people in that room,
right,
that holds 43 people.
Right.
You know, so, and that's not counting up on the stage. So it was 50 people in there all together. And we had to mark out because there's certain places I want to have with the camera angle can focus. Like today, we focused on I'm doing a beginner intermediate. That's what I'm teaching. And I can make it really challenging because
where would you rate this on a scale of beginner intermediate? This we did today.
That was beginner moves.
Right.
And I made it intermediate in a way that I made it more challenging. But some people took it way past that to conditioning. And I wouldn't say moves were challenging past intermediate, but the cardio was. Because once I get you engaging and flexing your muscles as you move, then it changes everything.
It seemed like you were winging it.
I'm always winging it.
I love it.
And the reason why I'm always winging it is because I'm looking at the crowd and I'm wondering, okay, all right, can they do this? Oh, if they can do that, well, then let me give them this. Oh, if they can, okay, so this person over here, they get out. Again, remember who's up on stage with me. There's a woman on this workout. Normally it's my wife, but there's this woman named Anitra who's down like 50 pounds.
Right.
Who still has another 35 pounds to go. But she's an instructor now. Every one of my instructors have some sort of comeback, whether it's weight loss, pain, you know, for fibromyalgia, MS. I mean, you name it. Like, there's a guy next to Arnitra was the guy who runs my DDP yoga certification department.
Right, the English guy.
Yeah, Hayden, who I brought over from London.
Yeah, so first of all, so that's kind of the thing is that, you know, when I saw the videos, I think you were in your basement, dude. Like, I
know I was in the I could have been.
Well, your living room.
In my living room, right? Right here. I live a mile from here.
So, and again, I knew you had videos, but I honestly had no idea. Like, I walk in and there's a full video production happening. You're talking about this app. Is your goal to make this like worldwide empire? Like, I don't know, like Taibo was, or.
I think it has a potentially bigger than Taibo or P90X or anything because everyone can do it. And there's a new movie that'll come out. It's our second documentary. And it's not really mine. It's one of my guys who works for me, but we'll help him get it out there. It's called Relentless. And it's the story of me being at my highest in professional wrestling, and Kevin Nash power bombs me, and I blow out my back. And what I actually did, you could say I broke my back for all intents and purposes, but what I did was I ruptured my L4 and L5, and that's the discs in between the vertebrae. So I am bone on bone So imagine that, without being fused on bone on bone. So if I had to walk around like that, I'd be in pain all the time. Like so many people, a lot of people herniated their L4. They ruptured their L4. You don't do both. You know, normally it's one or the other. In this scenario, because of the impact, I didn't start wrestling until I was 35. My career took off when I was 40. That was in 1996.
Everybody know this about you? I feel like that's not known enough.
You know, people who don't really know my story, people know my story do. I just did a thing, and you can look it up on... Are you familiar with the Players Tribute?
Yes.
Amazing site. Derek Jeter did a thing called A Letter to My Younger Self, and that blew that site up. Ray Allen did one, which was amazing. I just did one for them. It started at 9,000 words.
And now, they got it down to what?
They put it out at 14,000. I'm not kidding, because they kept asking for details. And I was like, dude, this is too long. No one's ever going to read it.
What was the last job you held before a professional wrestler?
Ran nightclubs.
In where?
From New Jersey. I worked in Houston. I worked in San Francisco. Fort Myers, Florida is where I made my name in the bar business.
Was it like mob stuff?
No, it really wasn't. But people thought it was because my buddy, it's just funny because I grew up, my best friends were Rossi, Cafaro, Genta, Scarcello. I mean, all of them were Italian.
Right.
My mother used to say, "You think you're Italian?" I said, "Mom, I know I'm Italian." German, they all call me Dutch. You know,
is your last name not Page?
No, my last real name, my first name was Page.
Okay.
My last name is Falkenberg.
Okay.
And German Kraut.
Right.
My grandfather was Siegel. You know, so.
Are you Jewish people?
No, it's funny. My grandfather's mother or something, it's in the bloods there somewhere,
right?
But yeah, I grew up a Christian, but I consider myself a God man,
right?
I'm a heavy God man. I probably have more Jewish faith in me, meaning that overall picture,
right?
You know, because I just think you treat people good, you know, I want good karma. You know, that's what I want. And you know, if anybody's seen the resurrection of Jake the Snake, like what lit up on my at real DDP Twitter or at DDP Yoga was DDP is a karma millionaire, you know,
and because you bring these guys back.
Well, just it's a lot of people. Like it isn't. It's from people who are famous to people who no one will ever know, and I don't care. It's not about that. I care about changing lives. And when you said to me earlier, is your goal that like the big make this like the bigger than Tybo? It's like, it's not about being bigger. It's about, I want to get the word out and let people know that this workout will change. It's not really a workout as much as it is a lifestyle. You know, it's about eating real food. And I'm not talking about pick a diet. I don't care what diet it is. Make it the food that God created.
Right.
And it will heal you. Or if you eat the garbage that is on all of our televisions and radios and we're flooded with, it will kill you. It will make you really uncomfortable. It'll make you feel like you're dying, but now you're not. Who the hell wants to live to 70, 80, 90 miserable? Not me.
Yeah.
I'm 61 now, man. And for me, I'm not preparing for 65 because that'll be here tomorrow. I'm preparing for 90, 100 because you just seen worked out with me out there. I mean, I'm showing people how to do this at its easiest and a little bit challenging, but I'm going to show you how to do some really challenging stuff.
Well, I saw you do a freaking Cobra headstand or whatever the hell you did out there. But, and by the way, I jump around a lot, so.
No, dude.
Whatever. So,
and I don't.
So.
It's ADD meets ADD.
Right. So. So the, you know, the Jake story and some of sort of the philosophy like about sobriety and about right. God, but you're not a 12-step guy.
No, but I love 12-step.
Yeah, so I'm sober a long time and
that's awesome.
And I love that stuff too. Yeah. But you don't necessarily say, if somebody says, hey, my life's all fucked up, I can't stop using drugs, you wouldn't necessarily say go to that, or you would say go to that?
I would say go to what works for you. And you might have heard me during the workout because I say it numerous times, make the DDPY your own. Notice I didn't say yoga, all right? It's DDPY is its own animal. Have you ever done yoga before?
I have.
Was that anything like a yoga class you ever been in?
Other than a couple of the similar poses,
they're positions, right?
Positions, but which you aptly like renamed to like wrestling shit, which right. is awesome. But so listen,
fun shit.
No, dude,
like, so superstar.
You can't have a bad time giving the Ric Flair woo. Or yelling superstar.
You can't.
And here's what I said to my friend Amy. When you're the new person in class, whether it's CrossFit, yoga, exercise, the worst thing is being the new kid and you're looking around and half the time you have no idea what's going on.
Right.
And this is my first time and I did not feel that way.
Right.
A couple of times I had to look around.
Yeah, well, sure.
But I didn't feel that like, oh, what are they? Because you're clearly having a good time.
Right.
You're using these, like my kid would like it, right? Touchdown, right? Just simple.
Diamond cutter.
Right.
Attention, Hulk it up.
Who doesn't love Hulk it up? So I know like it sounds like oh, so silly and stupid, but it works.
It works.
And it's why people are coming. The other thing my friend Amy said was, she said, notice what this class was like. Like, so I'm 45, she's about my age, and there was a lot of that.
Right.
You go to a yoga class, it's 23-year-old skinny girls.
Right. But first of all, do you really look around that room? That's the most eclectic room on the planet. It's black, white, yellow, green. It's all ages, shapes, and sizes. There's a guy with MS who's off to the right of you who's using two chairs and comes in here with his canes, but he walked off his boat the other day. Wouldn't have to crawl off it. He could walk off with his canes. He's here every Tuesday and Thursday. And he does the app at home.
So did those things, like all the various call-outs that you do, which, like again, you're just winging.
Right.
Did that just come? You decided, I want to teach this thing.
No. What happened was, again, I'm the guy, and I didn't get this far. I didn't develop this for yogis, like, at all. I figured they have 100 different types of yoga, and they all are namaste yoga people. That's not who I am. I'm the guy who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga the first 42 years of my life. But, again, you start at 35 in wrestling. Career takes off at 40, 41, 42. I'm literally on top of the world. Just signed a multi-million dollar three-year deal, and I blow my back out. Now, three top spine specialists, one here in Atlanta, New York, and Houston, all tell me, you're done. Like, dude, you can never go back. Even when you
so you were that you were the heavyweight champion at the time?
No, I wasn't. I was in 13 out of 24 main events or semi-main events. My career just exploded. And then they tell me my career's over in 1999. And man, I was so depressed. And I say this in the movie Relentless. You can't just thank God for all the good things that happened to you. You got to thank God for the things that happen to you that are fucked up, that are super depressing, that are, you lost your job, you got a divorce, whatever is like, devastating, because that can be the best thing that ever happened to you. And you just got to start to think that way. Like, I program my brain. I'm writing a book right now. It'll be released called Own Your Life. It'll be released August at SummerSlam. It'll be SummerSlam weekend. It'll be released. It's called Own Your Life. Tagline, it's the art of being positively unstoppable. And it's all about the story you tell yourself. It's that voice. And that's where I train my brain. So I'm at the lowest point. Because I just signed a multi-million dollar deal. I've never been paid up till this time. I'm making a fraction of what everyone on the main card, in the main event, I'm making a fraction of what they're making.
Because?
Because I'd already signed a contract earlier than that, and then my career exploded. And it exploded because of a lot of reasons, but all of it was work ethic. I'm wearing a Hall of Fame ring here, WWE Hall of Fame ring. Inside that ring, it says work ethic equals dreams, DDP. I knew I was going to be a top guy. I just didn't know when. And that's where people get fucked up, because they want it now. It was Richard Dreyfuss who said, it's okay to want the money and the fame. You just can't want it now. You can't want it right away. You got to work for it. And that's what I did. And I knew everything in my life, if I just keep working for it, it's going to happen. because I'm never going to quit. I'm never going to give up. The movie, the new documentary will be out this year. I don't know where it'll air. I'm going to try to sell it to Netflix first, and because they're the greatest media on the planet right now, and it's right there with Jake, Resurrected Jake the Snake. So it's a natural to go from one to the other. But Relentless is. It tells you how I start this journey of blowing out my back and them telling me, the top spine specialists in the country, telling me I'm never going to wrestle again. And then I did. But how I did was the guy who wouldn't be dead doing yoga started doing yoga. And the first three videos in my house with a VCR, because I'm not going to a yoga studio.
Right.
I'm not that guy.
Right.
And so... within 3 weeks, I started feeling a significant difference of doing some power yoga. A guy who now is a very good friend of mine, Brian Guest, he's in the movie, because he's the first guy that I did his stuff. But everybody was Gumby in his workout. They were all ridiculously flexible, in shape, like yoga gods.
Right.
And there was no modifications back then. Brian does them today, but back then they didn't exist. So I had to figure them out. And then... I'm doing rehab, right? Because I got to rehab my back while I'm doing that. Because even though the doctor told me I'm done, I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to figure this out. So I'm doing rehab both shoulder surgeries, both knee surgeries. So I know a lot about rehab and breaking up scar tissue, which is what alleviates pain and creates flexibility. Flexibility is youth, not just in the body, but in the mind. You got to just keep moving. So what I did one night before I go to bed, by myself, I start mixing the yoga positions. Notice I didn't say pose or posture.
Because
I'm an athlete. I'm a fucking athlete. I know how to get in a position. I know how to play a position. I relate to that. I don't relate to pose. I don't relate. And not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
I respect all types of yoga today. I even like a lot of them. I'll still go to a class, and I'll go into a Brian Guest class in a heartbeat, and he'll kick my ass, because I'll do his workout at another
level.
All
right, we got to back up here a second. So when you're the nightclub guy,
right?
Were you watching professional wrestling?
I tried to wrestle when I was 22. That's how much I loved it.
Okay.
I had three matches. I sucked. I hurt my knee.
Okay.
And what had happened when I was 12, I walked out in front of a car. The car hit my right knee. My face bounced off the hood. I flew 42 feet from the point of impact. I wouldn't say I was a prodigy, but a 12-year-old, I was a football psychopath. Football and hockey, it was my games.
Who were your guys when you were that young? Who did you love?
Well, at that time, Namath was a god to me.
Right.
And Namath had, so many knee problems.
Right.
And he had this Dr. Nicholas, like my doctor saying, like, there's no rehab in 1960 fucking eight.
Here's a whiskey bottle.
right. No, you can't do that.
Right.
So I said to my mom, Mom, I go, this guy, Dr. Nicholas, he did a knee operation on Willis Reed. He's back playing, and Joe Namath, and he's back playing. I go, maybe he can help me. So I go see this guy. And
Did you have a lot of money?
No.
Could you find this guy?
No, my mom found. Well, my mom was, she was living with a guy for 10 years. It was an awesome guy named Bob Widger. And, he pretty much put me in Adidas and shit over. I live with my grandmother down on the Jersey Shore. And my mom worked up north, and she was living with this guy named Bob Widger, who's a sweetheart guy. So she had money, and she took care of whatever I needed to a certain degree. But when it came to getting your kid fixed so he can play football, because, dude, I don't know it at the time, but I can't read. I'm cheating my way through everything. I've got ADD and dyslexia at a time no one knows what the fuck that is.
They just think you're dumb if you can't read. Well,
and I know I'm not dumb, but I still can't read. I'm really bad at it.
Right.
So if now you're reading in class, coming around to me, I'd fucking slap the kid in front of me and get sent to the principal's office. I'm not doing that.
Seems like a good solution.
Yeah, got me out of doing it. Because you only go to that bed twice and try. I can't, and all the kids are laughing. Now you're really in your head. So bottom line is, my outlet was football and hockey. So, you know, Bobby Orr, Bobby Hull, those guys, they were freaking gods to me. But football was like, I'm going to play for the Dallas Cowboys were my team because
not the Jets.
I still love the Jets. I love them all. But Dallas Cowboys, you know, that's where the name comes from. Dallas Page.
Ah,
and
Staubach.
Yes, man. You ribbon. You know, just that whole era, America's team.
Of course,
I just love them. You know, but I also was a Giant fan too. But when it came to the Dallas Cowboys, I'm with the Cowboys. You know,
right?
I was a Jets fan too. You know, I just love football. I love the game. So now they tell me I can't play. My mom takes me up to see Nicholas, and he says to me, you're never going to be a Willis Reed. You're never going to be a Joe Namath. Get on the books and study.
Wow.
I am devastated.
I can imagine.
So the two sports to let me play, basketball, which I suck at. I didn't make the team in seventh grade. Friggin', and baseball. I suck at. And you can't get any good at baseball unless you got a dad that coaches you and helps you, and or unless you're a natural, right, which I wasn't. But basketball, you can play by yourself all day long.
Right.
And you can get better and better and better. You can dribble. You can shoot. You can do foul shots. You can do hooks. You can do moves inside. You can do anything. You can do ball handling skills. You can do everything. So I didn't make the team in seventh grade, but I said, I'm going to make that team in eighth grade. And I made it just because of my aggressiveness and just want to be able to play. But I sat on the bench. And I thought, that's never happening to me again. And over that summer, I played 5 hours a night every day.
With yourself sometimes, or others?
So what?
With yourself?
Sometimes by myself in the rain. You know, a lot of times with others. And in the beginning, I didn't get picked. And eventually, I got to where I got picked last and then middle. And then I picked the teams. And that summer, coming back, I would go to St. Joe's High School that year. And we went 16-0. The next year, the sophomore year, me and Stan and Jeff all were called to go up to varsity, but I wouldn't cut my hair like an asshole. And so I stayed on JV and averaged about 30-some points until finally I went, fuck this, and I literally cut my hair like, cut it. And next thing you know, I was starting varsity. And what it taught me was work ethic equals results. You know, as long as you keep putting the work in, no matter, I don't care how bad you are, if you keep putting the work in, you're going to get better no matter what. And that is something that I took with me all the way through. So now I'm 22. I try wrestling, doesn't work out. I get thrown over the top rope. I jam my knee again. So I end up getting an opportunity, Bob Widger, my mom's boyfriend. They split up, but Bobby still likes me, and he's got this business office he's going to turn into a bar and restaurant on one floor and down below, like a rock and roll bar. So I'm like, dude, I've been working in the bar business since I was 17. Like, that's my dream. Really, it was to become a big enough name in wrestling, I'd buy my own bar. You know, and have my own bar. Now I'm running one.
Right.
And then it was the booze, the broads, and the party.
Of course.
And at that point, I sort of got sidetracked, you know, and then I didn't go back. And that, remember, this is 78, 79, 80. Round 81, wrestling starts to take off.
Oh, yeah.
Hulk Hogan is starting that juggernaut spot. And I was so pissed that I didn't keep on my goal that I stopped watching. And around 86, 85 or 86, I was flicking the channels, like literally with my hands flicking the channels. You know, whatever amount of channels there were back then, 7 or 8.
You've probably never seen a television that you have to flick channels.
I've seen one where you have to press the button.
Buddy of mine here, Dane, he is down here because, and you saw it earlier, we did, what did we call it? The SmackDown? Twas the SmackDown before Christmas, and I met him at Comic-Con, and he said, dude, I love your career. I love what you're doing with DDP Yoga. I would love to do an animated series around what you're doing. So we exchanged numbers, and then it was like right before Christmas when we finally get, you know, I get the time to like 2 weeks, and I tell him what I want to do, and he writes this awesome script, and I get Jake to do a voiceover, and I do a voiceover, and you know, he's a very, very sharp kid, and now we're down here. I flew him down here today because we're sitting in my big, I call it the Sons of Anarchy room, you know, with a big ass table in it, not a boardroom. This is Sons of Anarchy room, and he came down here, and we all started without having really an idea where we're going, but we came up with a 8-series deal that we're going to do with his stop animation.
Pick up very yeah. well, but listen, we'll plug you and everything, but right. But tell me, so what was I saying? So you're flicking the channels in 1986,
right. And I see Jesse Ventura.
Right.
And back then, Jesse would wear the wild glasses.
Right, the big feather boa.
The boa, the hat, and he had that. I can't do his voice, Dallas. You know, he had that voice, that Minnesota accent, and he was so intense, and McMahon, you idiot. You know, I mean, he was like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, oh my God. So I stop, I watch him and Gorilla were together, you know, and then they go to...
Gorilla Monsoon?
Gorilla Monsoon. And they go to okay, let's go to the ring. And
right.
This guy walks through the curtain with a bag over his shoulder. And I'm like, who the fuck? What does he got in that bag? And then they're talking about Damien. And he's got the Fu Manchu and a long hair. And this motherfucker, he looks real to me.
Right.
Like, fuck everybody else. And I love Hulk and Macho. Macho's pretty real, too. But fucking...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, brother. Thinking. thinking. He was like... I was like, who the fuck is this? And I watch his match, and it looked so real to me. Like, this match is real. You know? And I did it. And I know it's a work, but... I'm still not sure because I wasn't in it that long. And,
right.
You know, and I was at the bottom of the barrel, and this guy, and then he cut his promo, and I was like, fuck, and I was sucked right back in.
Right.
I mean, that Halloween, I got dressed up as Jesse Ventura, and everybody knew exactly who I was because I would wear the zebra skin coats and the leopard skin coats and all that crazy shit. You know, I ran a club down in Fort Myers, Florida. And that's where I actually met Jesse, and he came by my club. Jake came to my club, Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. I mean, like, I was all around it now. And that's what was so cool about that that letter to my younger self, because I got to talk about all of this. And it's still the cliff notes, but it's 14,000 words of clip notes. That's how crazy my life's been.
And you just, did you reach out to those guys to say, come to my club?
No,
or?
They just, well, Jesse, I did. Jesse, it turned out when I got to meet him in Tampa, Florida, because I mean, I was just a fan, just like he would be.
Right.
I'm just a fan, but I'm also working in the AWA, so I'm not just a fan. At this time, I'm already in the AWA. I'm Diamond Dallas Page, the manager, and I'm somehow back semi-stage, and Jesse's like leaning on a table or something over there, and so I was telling about Jesse, man, that guy pulled me back in this shit, and I love him. He goes, hold on, he's a pretty cool guy, let me see if I get him to talk to you. He came over and talked to me, and then we start talking, and he started talking about, he mentioned Sanibel. Well, Sanibel's, you know, 30 minutes from Fort Myers,
right?
And I'm like, I live in Fort Myers, I got a club there. So he gave me his number. He went, I took him and his family to dinner. I can't remember what the name of the place was, but it was a really fun restaurant down in Sanibel. And then he came to my club that night. Now, the next, probably, I don't know, 4 months later, Jake just shows up because Tampa to Miami, that's your next shot. It's 300 miles.
Right.
Well, if there's a layover spot, the boys are going to go there. If there's a bar that's hot,
right,
they're going to go there.
Right.
If the guy who runs the bar is a fan, this is before I'm managing what you call it. So Jesse came later. That's right. Because Jake was in first. If the guy who runs the bar,
friggin' buys all your drinks,
right,
you're definitely going there.
Right.
And, you know, Jake told everybody, and they just came by next time they came through town. And, you know, but I'm still not fucking, you know, I'm not one of the boys. I'm not,
you're not in the circle.
Right. And that's when I made up a videotape and sent it to the AWA as Diamond Dallas Page. And because I was Handsome Dallas Page when I tried to wrestle, and that didn't work out. And
because
so,
you weren't very handsome?
That too. That too. But, you know, it just, it wasn't my time. And Diamond Dallas Page, I created the Diamond Exchange. My, like Jimmy Hart had the Hart Foundation.
Of course.
Oh, the Diamond Exchange. And then I had the Diamond Dolls. This is before there was ever divas.
Right.
You know, they weren't just hot. They were stripper hot. And most of them were. And
you just knew them from your club?
Yeah, well, from that. But later on, when I came up here to Atlanta, and eventually after AWA and got to WCW as a manager, they were all from like the Gold Club and the Cheetah. And
can we pour one out for the Gold Club for a minute? I mean, is that the greatest club in the history of
Gold Club and the Cheetah? When I first rolled in there in 1990, it was like God shook a Playboy in a penthouse, and these girls fell on the bar tops.
Yeah, so I'll tell you this
is crazy, dude. Most beautiful women back then. Today they're okay.
So I'm not a
unbelievable.
I'm not a strip club guy anymore, but I can tell you that around that same time, because right. probably. Yeah, like early 90s. Mm-hmm. I remember going to the Gold Club one night, and they had like, I don't know if it was a shift change or something. Right. And so like at 10 o'clock, they just go, here's all of them.
Right.
And there was every type that you could imagine. Black, white, tall, skinny,
gorgeous,
schoolgirl, slutty.
Yes.
And I just was like, are you? It's like every guy's dream right. is like they were the greatest of all time.
Yes. And now they're going to walk out, and you're going to get to get them to dance for you.
Right.
Like, okay. Like I've been to a go-go bar where they're behind the bar and they shake their tits at you, but fucking, you know, now they're going to fucking, these are going to get naked, and was like, what the fuck? And what was really interesting, because I know never to be a mark for that chick, because then you're never fucking her.
Right.
You know?
Of course.
So, and that's the ultimate goal to me. And back then, not today, but back then.
But every guy, that was their goal. Yes. That's the whole thing, yeah, is they're like
when
this.
You're famous.
Ah.
As long as you're not a mark for them,
right.
then it's a different animal.
Right. Are you famous enough that they all know you, or just that enough of their friends will go, dude, professional wrestlers, you know him?
Well, back when I was over, I walked in a fucking strip club with Kevin Nash and fucking girls got up and applauded. I'm not bullshitting. You know, it was crazy. 97, 98, 99, 2000, man. It was amazing.
So like I said, I'm 45. So that first heyday was my wheelhouse, right?
Right.
So I watched as a kid, as a 12, 13 year old, maybe even younger, I watched Saturday Night Wrestling here right. on whatever channel it was. And it wasn't all WWF even yet.
Right,
it was WC, not even WCW. It was like
Georgia Championship Wrestling. Back then there was 40 territories.
Right.
There was Charlotte, Portland, Oregon.
Right.
You know, Kansas City.
Who hosted Georgia Championship Wrestling? Do you remember?
Oh, the man, freaking Dean Gordon Solie.
Right. There you go, Gordon Solie. So I watched all those guys. Right. And then as I got older, I fell off. Right. And then I have this experience that I think a lot of guys are having, is my kids are into wrestling. So I know. So I think I might have. No, I didn't mention. Charles Robinson.
Sure. Charlie's a good buddy of mine.
Right. So Charles.
He does DDP yoga.
So Charles.
All the time.
So Charles does obstacle races, which is what my other job is. I'm in that whole world. So anyway, so I go to a match with my son, and I haven't watched wrestling in, you know, except right. for just blips on the screen in like 20 years.
Right.
And in about 2 minutes, my kid's never even been to a match. And right. in 2 minutes, he's cheering for the good guys. He's right. booing the bad guys. Right. But it's so much fucking bigger
right.
and larger than life than it ever was.
But it's really not. It's just perceived that way. Their ratings suck.
Really?
Suck compared to us.
Well, but you're also...
They're still good ratings. Don't
right,
get
but
me
everything's
wrong.
Down because now there's 50,000 channels and Netflix and everything else.
There was still a shitload of channels.
Not as many as there are now, though, dude.
Well,
streaming
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah,
dude!
A lot...
Dude, there was no every wrestler had their own merchandise. None of that happened in your day.
Bullshit.
Every single wrestler?
Not every single wrestler.
Okay, so that's
the
actually
guys were over.
So that's one of my questions right now, actually. So
wait a minute, let's go back to why it was so over. The only reason it was so over because of Monday Night Wars. Reagan right. WCW against WWF.
Right.
The Monday Night Wars lit it up. So at that time, the WWE is doing a 2.9 to a 3.0, maybe a 3.1 max is their rating.
And that's what, 6 million households?
I think about 4.
Okay.
I think it's a little over a million something
for each number, right.
And we go against them. So you're thinking, fuck, what are we going to split it? A 1 to a 2 or 1.9 to a 1.1? No. The first time it happened, it was a 4-1. It was a 2-1 to a 2-3.
Okay.
That means 4.4, not 3.1.
And so a whole other million more.
And then it started to fucking go boom, and then it was 2.5 to 3.2. And I mean, it just kept going to a fact where we were going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then Scott and Kev came over and we crushed them. And we fucking blew. When me and Goldberg wrestled in 1998, we had a pay-per-view match, and it got cut off because after 3 hours, you take a time block of 3 hours. At the end of 3 hours, it goes to another channel, right? Well, that's what happened. Because Hogan...
Back in the day, that's what happened anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like now they might, you know... They buy extra time
right,
if they have
whatever,
to.
Right.
But in this scenario, they didn't. And me and Goldberg get in the ring, and it goes off. I mean, it costs them zillions of dollars, and now they got to put that on Nitro the next night. They never do anything taped. It's always live. We did an 8.2.
Wow.
Yeah. That match. Mazillions and mazillions and after YouTube. And the greatest thing to me, and this is what put me at a whole different level besides going in the Hall of Fame right now, is the network. The network did for guys like me, the guys who were really over, Nash, Hall, you know, Austin's over is at a whole different level. He's so over. You know, The Rock's his own animal. But the guys who were the really over guys over that period, like, it gave us a whole nother life. It was kind of like what happened in the 80s with classic rock.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the Eagles were red hot again.
They were huge again. Right.
They were huge again. Anybody who was over, fucking was over again.
Right.
And then what did they do? They kept going and kept living that fucking dream.
Right.
You know, so for us, that's what it's like now. I mean, I go to a Comic-Con. When I first retired, I was getting about... I would do 15 and 15, like 15 for a picture, 15 for an autograph,
right?
$20 combo.
Right.
Today, I'm $40 for an autograph, $40 for a picture,
right?
$60 combo. What the fuck? I've been on TV in 17 years, but there's the old wrestling, you know, who want that autograph and picture.
Right.
I always bring my world title belt with me.
Got to.
You know, and then there's all the people who come. I think the big boost came from the Hall of Fame, because there's only a handful of guys, 100, probably 60 living guys who got Hall of Fame rings, period. You know, the movies, Devil's Rejects, Ready to Rumble, and then the old Resurrection of Jake Snake and everything I'm doing with DDP Yoga.
So
that's my biggest problem.
So here's what I seem to notice when I'm watching now versus when I'm watching then. Back then, it seems like there were a couple of sort of title matches and a lot of sort of like filler guys, like jobbers, I guess they call them, right? I'm not like the biggest wrestling guy.
No,
in the world. I'm pretty good.
Right.
Now nothing seems to be filler. Everybody has a storyline.
Right, right. And it was getting there with us. They got rid of the jobbers. The 80s were the main jobber things. And I would say going into the mid-90s, that kind of changed. And they didn't focus on the big stories got all the attention.
But now it seems like Like
like every single match has some kind of angle.
Now.
Yes.
But some of them, I think, are stretched a bit thin, yes. Right?
So, yeah, like, they're what we call hot shot, meaning they're in and they're out.
Right. But like I'm watching and I'm into it, right?
Right.
But like, how many weeks in a row can I see New Day versus the Usos, right? Even though those guys are awesome.
Right.
Some of the best smack talk, yeah. They're awesome.
Right. They don't even take full potential. Certain superstars, because you have superstars like Zack Ryder and Bayley and like a few other guys who are asking social media to speak out for them, because yeah, they do have a lot of potential, but they're not used quite yet.
But see, that's this whole other thing is the whole work versus real, and now you got social media, and now these guys are on reality shows. It's all
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's what
gives it's a very different world.
Yes, that's what gives it the whole illusion that it might be. Vince has made, like, they're not wrestlers.
They're entertainers.
They're sports entertainers.
Who do you think's a wrestler, though? I'm sure you see some that you like or that you appreciate.
No. I don't mean that. I'm not cutting them down. I'm saying that's what Vince did. These are superstars.
Okay.
Now. They're not wrestlers. Like, they are. Right. I mean, some of these guys are doing shit that I couldn't even think about doing.
Well,
I'm like, I look at someone like, God, there's so many of them right now that are so fucking good. At the top of the list. God, I just look at, especially with his 205 class,
right.
And what they're doing, they have the athletic skill that are off the chain, off the hook, but they don't really sell. So they sell like a bump, and they're going for the big pop, where if somebody just turns around and starts selling like they're hurt,
right,
the whole crowd will go nuts and get with them.
Right.
And that's what normally happens when you get to the top. And it still takes a lot of guys today. They don't stay down long enough. Like, you don't get right the fuck back up. If a little 5-year-old kid points you in the fucking eye,
right.
You're going to go, holy fuck, you poked me in the fucking eye. Right. I don't care if you're 6'6" and 390.
But here's what blew me away. So I went to a couple matches here at the Dome. Then I met Charlie.
Robinson.
Charles down in Macon, okay? And Macon is not a full house.
Right.
Okay? And first of all, so the fact that it's not a full house, and so we get to be front row for that one.
Right.
Right? And I had just seen some of these guys backstage. To see them come out with the lights, they were like different people, right? It just gave me this whole new perspective, because it's one thing to appreciate a guy and say, oh, you're a guy just like you and me.
Right.
Then I see you come through the smoke, and you're this fucking beast of a person.
Right.
And then I would say in 3 hours of wrestling, I saw like 5 misses. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like that was a bit of a phone. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which is a pretty amazing percentage.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I come home and I tell my wife, I'm like, honey, the knocks these guys are giving each other.
The bruises and the beating.
And that you're in Macon on Thursday and so-and-so on Friday.
Well, let's go farther than that, because bottom line is, that's a short trip here to Macon. That's 90 minutes.
Right.
I've driven 300 miles to the next town, and then 260 miles to the next town.
As a superstar.
Yes.
Not as some guy that's what the illusion is, like, oh, Ric Flair in the 70s had to drive to all these towns, but you guys are still doing that now.
Right. Right. I always said we are rock and roll gladiators, and Steve Austin threw in truck drivers because we drive ourselves. Some guys drive by themselves. Most of the guys got a crew, a guy you run with. Sometimes it's 3 guys, sometimes it's 4. When you got no money, it's always 4. In a mid-sized car, the smallest guy might be 210, 220, 250.
And you're out there selling it every single night.
And you're going out there trying to steal the show. So it's like a match that I would have would be like 5 or 6 car accidents. Like, imagine a night.
So how
a
are
fucking
these
night?
That, but I don't even understand.
You can't fake gravity.
Right.
And when you got a fucking crowd that, like, Ric Flair said it the best one time. He said, it's amazing what your body could get used to. Like, it's
so you
crazy.
Just don't feel it.
You feel it. Oh, fuck yeah, you feel it. Like, got to remember, I started at 35. I'm the first person, this is no bullshit, the first person to ice his body in professional wrestling. And I mean for years before anybody else started to do it.
I mean like pro football players do.
Right, like they do. They don't in the NBA, in the NBA, these kids are 19, 20 years old.
Right, their bodies bounce back pretty quick.
Do you think they're allowed to leave the fucking building until their knees are iced down?
Right.
They're not. They're fucking, they're thoroughbred, multi-million dollar investments.
Right.
They just put a shitload of money in these kids. You get in there and get your fucking knees iced down.
Right.
Now, the old man who's 26, you know, he's going fucking, hey, dude, ice my knees down.
Right.
How many times could you jump up and down and run around and up and down and twist and turn? Like, that's so crazy that I was allowed to play basketball, but I wasn't allowed to play football or friggin' hockey.
Right.
Hockey is rough on you, but not like basketball.
Right.
But they just got black. So my finished story over that to that Dr. Nicholas, he said, I'm never going to be a Joe Namath. I'm never going to be a Willis Reed. I guess he didn't know I was going to be a fucking Diamond Dallas Page.
Exactly.
Who would take way more abuse from 35 to 49. Than any human ever.
Are these guys being taken care of, you know, talking about, like, or is it more like indentured servitude?
I understand. What does it mean?
Is Vince taking care of these people, or is it, hey, take your lumps and suck it? So I have a friend who's good enough to get the tryout.
Right.
And they said to him, listen, we're going to like own you for a couple years just to get you good. And, you know, then we'll see kind of thing.
Well, the bottom line is there's not one guy who wouldn't give his left nut to get in there and fucking and do whatever the fuck it takes.
Right.
Concussions, you know, which is a big thing right now. They don't let you hit the chair anymore. I get hit in the chair so many times.
They're throwing stages now. What are those made out of?
Yeah, but they're still whacking their head, but we're not whacking their head on purpose. You know, it's like I get the concussion deal. But my point is, there's not a guy in the NFL that fucking is retired and got through it that would have done it any fucking different.
Right.
They still would have went out there and played with that same friggin' fire and passion.
Right.
Now, I'm now starting to work with NFL legends.
Doing this?
Doing this, yeah. DDP yoga, man. Because this is the get your life back workout. It's also, more than anything, in the NFL, the major college level, really any sport, but when you get to that level where they're investing the big, you know, scholarship in you, or you get to the show where you get to actually get paid to be a professional athlete, you have two jobs, and they don't really realize that. They understand the first job. The first job, be the best athlete you can be so you get paid. Number two, don't get hurt. They forget that because they think they're indestructible.
Right.
How many guys went down in the NFL this year?
A lot.
A lot. I will guarantee you that if I worked with every one of them, maybe half would have still went down. So there's certain injuries you can't, like when you see a guy's leg bend completely the wrong way, like you can't, you know, from that hit, that tackle, whatever.
Do you have
the hell
relationships with the league at all? Are you trying to make that happen?
It's already happening in a way that I'm talking to them right now. And it's not, we're not there, but I want to help these guys.
Right.
It's not like, I'm not looking even to get paid. You know, it's not what I'm looking for. Because it's not about that to me. I believe I can get whatever I want as long as I help enough people get what they want. It's like a circle of life to me.
Isn't that what What's-His-Name said?
That's what Zig Ziglar said, something like that.
Right.
But he didn't say exactly like that.
So I thought it comes from even before that, Think and Grow Rich. But whatever. It's a universal truth.
It's everything ever said comes from Napoleon Hill. The original Think and Grow Rich.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Tony Robbins is a genius.
Right.
And I love him.
Have you done some of his stuff?
That's one of the reasons why I can fucking read today and shit. Because in 1989, I couldn't read his book. I was reading at a third grade level at the age of 30. And I think it was 89 or 87. I can't remember. Somewhere in between 85 and 89. I can't remember exactly now. But he had those cassette tapes.
I remember.
So I bought those. I can't read his shit, but I could sure fucking listen to it. And out of that, I decided I'm going to read my first book from cover to cover. Now, this is, applies to absolutely everything when it comes to setting goals. If you can't do something right now, if you have issues with food, if you are lazy, if you can't read, no matter what it is that you can't do right now, you got to change your circumstance. You got to set a goal first. Then you got to change your circumstance. And what I mean by that is, if I just would have said, I'm going to go on a diet, I'm going to do a workout, I'm going to read, I'm going to learn how to read. Okay, what's your goal? Oh, I don't have a goal. I'm just going to learn how to read. Oh, really? Good luck with that. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to lose weight. I'm not going to put a number on it. Well, good luck with that. In this scenario, I'm going to learn how to read. Goal. I'm going to read a book from cover to cover. Never been done by me. Most people, it's not a big deal. For me, overwhelming. So when you hit with a goal like that that you set, what do you do? So it's not overwhelming. Set smaller goals. I'll read one page a day. Even a functional literate like me at the time could do that.
Right.
But if I don't change my circumstance, the odds of it happening, like if I'm going to do a diet, the odds of it happening, because so many people fall down and fail because they don't change their circumstance. In my scenario, how I did that is I wrote Read Today and I put it fucking everywhere. I couldn't escape it. Who am I going to lie to? You know, maybe I won't read tonight. I'm too busy or I'm too fucked up or whatever. Like, fuck that. It's got it on your bedpost, on your friggin' refrigerator, on your mirror in your bathroom.
What did you read?
Lee Iacocca's autobiography.
But did you read other stuff to like practice or you just read that book?
No, that was the first thing.
It's a pretty thick one, if I recall.
Like 300 pages. Right. Yeah, you know, it was 300 something. It took me a year. Literally took me a year to read it. And it was this super feeling of accomplishment. But I learned a lot about Lee Iacocca. I thought, like, if you're going to try and do something, make sure you're really interested in it. You know, and I was fascinated because I'm a smart motherfucker. I just wasn't a good reader because of, you know, the shit that I had to deal with.
Have you had a chance to, like, tell Tony that story?
I haven't. I met him, but it was briefly like any other Mark. We have the same publicist. And at the time we did, and I went to one of his 4-day retreat things,
right,
which was fascinating to me when you could see a guy speak for 11 straight hours.
Unbelievable.
Just he's unbelievable. And hold the people, own him at the end. You already own him in the beginning, but own him the entire time. Like he's a monster. He's incredible.
But you've not gotten to say, hey man, you kind of changed my life.
No, because I wasn't going to do it in that spot. Like Tony and I are going to work. We're going to be business partners at some point. He doesn't know it yet.
I love it, man.
You know, but it's going to happen because this, what I'm doing, he's going to see at some point and he's going to go, fuck, that's pretty fucking amazing. Like when I saw his show remember he used to interview Fran Tarkington. And,
right.
Yeah. I'm thinking Fran Tarkington and I'd hear all his great stories. I'm like, I'm going to be one of those stories. And then I said, fuck it. You know, we're going to be business partners. You know, it's like the guy who came up to friggin' Thomas Edison. I can't remember his name, but he said, you know, he had nothing. You know, barely got there fucking up the train to get to New Jersey to meet him and fucking said, we're going to be business partners and I'm going to start out working for nothing. And then he just earned his fucking way in. It's one of the stories from Thinking Grow Rich.
Right.
And friggin' they would go on to be business partners. It's like if you can see it, like I have lived every fucking dream I have ever had. Now, did I hit it exactly? Maybe not exactly. Sometimes it was off to the left, to the right, or a little bit under it. But numerous times, I've shot right fucking past it and headed in the upper atmosphere with the same fucking goal. Like, you got to set goals. You got to say it every day. The story you tell yourself that's what Own Your Life to me is all about. And sharing with people, like, the first paragraph of Own Your Life starts out with, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? You asked me earlier, and it's like, so what do you want to do with DDP Yoga? You want to be bigger than Taibo? About 4 months ago, I set a goal that we will be $100 million company before I'm 65. And that's the day, 4/5/22. I'm 65. What's it, 17 right now? No, it's 4/5/20.
Your birthday's April 5th?
April 5th.
My birthday's April 5th. That's crazy.
And you know, when I get to...
So you're what year?
I'm 56 when I was born. And I will be 65.
Like, right. That's, okay. So I'm 72. So you're, I can't do the math. What are they, 16 years older than me?
Right. Right.
I mean, I know it's not that whatever, but I think that's pretty fucking cool. We had the same birthday.
That's fucking fine. I mean, yeah. It came up like this too. Right. Off a goal that, okay, so will I really be depressed if we're only a $50 million company? Not really. Like, we're a $20 million company right now.
You know? And that's DVD sales?
No, that's like friggin' when you, how they rage, what, like the money that we bring in, what we own, like I own everything, bro. I don't owe one dime for anything in my life. How many people listening to this live like that? Like I almost bought a friggin' $1.3 million house the other day, and I've got this other property that I'm invested in. I was going to build something there, and this was a hell of a deal. But it was, I couldn't pay for everything in cash.
So you didn't do it.
I didn't do it. And my buddy, who's my real estate agent, he's like, "Gee, you're going to make money the minute you buy this." I said, "I don't give a fuck, bro." I said, "You know me, and I'm going to tell you again." And I go, "I did the numbers. I can't pay for it all. And if I can't pay for it 100%, I don't deserve it."
Are you good with numbers? You do have like the killer CFO guy.
No, I'm just good with numbers. That was one thing. I was sucked with fucking reading.
But you grew with numbers?
I mean, on a card game table, I would get everybody straight who had to pay. And you quarter to you and 50 to you and 75 to you. And boom, boom, boom. I'm moving everybody's money. Just let's fucking go. Come on. Play the cards.
Right. So just familiarize me. But so besides this, like, so what are the sales come from? This product, you're selling autographs on whatever shows.
But that's
nothing.
That means nothing. That's
why don't you just give those away then, bro?
Because it has value. You don't give anything away that has value. Now, I will give my program to people who need it pro bono. I'll help people, you know, because I don't need to make money off.
But if a kid comes up to you in a mall, you'll take a selfie with them.
Of course.
But at the show, you'll do the.
But I got to do it like that. You know, I got to do it like that because it has value. Because, you know, the it's worth something. I don't want to devalue my name. You know, it's actually worth something. I worked my ass off to get here.
All right, so where does the...
A guy like Ric Flair gets like $100. You know, Flair is so hot right now. Hogan, you know, him and Hogan make like $150 for like a picture and an autograph. $150. But that's how fucking over those fucking guys are. You know, they are the, you know, the masters.
Is that you? Is that me? What the fuck is going on?
I don't know.
I don't know. I got to tell you. I'm sure you saw the 30 for 30, the Rick 30.
I was there. I was there live, and he fucking premiered it.
So I watched
that. That was amazing.
It was amazing, and like I was 12 years old again.
Yeah.
Like
he's a special cat, man.
Like even though Hulk is like the Jordan and put a stamp on it.
To me, at this point right now, because of the 30 for 30, Flair has... And it's all about Q rating and everything. And I think...
Yeah, but Hogan also took a fucking big knock.
I did, and that too, you know?
But I'm just saying...
Dude, I'm a huge Hulk Hogan fan, dude. Right? I'm a big Hulkster
but
fan.
Flair, dude, you...
But those two guys, to me, they sit side by side. At one point, Hulk was over him for you know, but today, they sit side by side.
Every chop in the ring is a woo now.
Exactly. Dude, you watch ESPN. You heard it tonight. Okay, we're going to explode. I want to hear a little Ric Flair at the end of this. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, explode. Woo!
But here,
I mean, the whole building.
Here's
you know?
The other thing that I...
On ESPN, give me two claps and a Ric Flair. Clap, clap, woo!
Right.
I mean, fucking... That's what I'm saying. Right now, Flair is kind of like got that little bit of a notch on the Hulkster, you know?
No, for sure. And what I was going to say was that's the other thing that I didn't realize in going to wrestling and now watching on TV, and this is what I love, what it's like the best about it, is the... there's the chants and the songs that everybody relates to, and then there's the shit people make up on the spot. That's killer.
Yeah, right.
Like
right.
Wrestling audiences are just
I love wrestling
awesome.
So much. There's some douchebags like there is anything.
Of course.
But as a whole, wrestling fans are the greatest fans ever. When in the resurrection of Jake the Snake, Jake doesn't believe that the fans really give a fuck still.
Right. And then so, you go, hey, let's launch a Twitter, and like people went nuts, right?
Not even that yet. You know, it was around the time, yeah, like we did a Twitter. We wanted him to understand social media.
Right.
And him and Scott had no idea.
Right.
And one asshole on some fucking, you know, who writes for whatever, fucking DDP, what a loudmouth, thinks he's going to fucking turn Jake Roberts' life around because he's going to teach about social media. Guess what, asshole? It worked. Not only did it fucking work on the Twitter and all that bullshit, when he tore his shoulder out. Now, if Jake needs it at that point, I'm going to pay for it, all right? But he doesn't have insurance, so that's an expensive operation. So I want to see it. I want to show him. I go, we've done these GoFundMes before.
Right.
You know, they're called Indiegogo at the time.
Right.
I said, let's just fucking do an interview, Jake. I go, just speak from the heart. And he didn't want to do it. And he didn't want to do it. You know, but, you know, but when he did it, we asked for $9,000. $9,200. That's what we asked for. Because that's what the doctor, if you pay these doctors cash, they'll take less money. Hold on.
How long are you married?
We've been together 5 years. We're married 3.
Right. And you got kids?
She has 2 kids. I have 2 kids.
How old are your kids?
That was Brittany up on the stage.
Right.
That's why I said the prodigal daughter returned. She hasn't been here to work out forever, but she brought those 2 people who are very interested in wanting to work together.
Right.
So she's a phenomenal, like, master networker. Like, she, friggin', the day before, wants to go to that game so bad. She's a crazy Alabama fan. Got it. Someone gave her an $8,000 ticket. She's on the fucking front row at the 10-yard line. Front row. Fucking in that stadium. Like, she just makes shit happen. But I got 2. One works for me here, Kimmy. Brittany's 20. She just turned 30. She's 30. Kimmy's 22. And then we have 2 more with Bren. Ray Ray's 16 and Lexi's 21. And I had them all walk me out for
your Hall of Fame. That's so awesome.
And I said,
make me want to cry, dude. That's so awesome.
Dude, and they were all so beautiful. And I walked out and I stopped and I said, I used to have diamond dolls. Now I got diamond daughters. And Brittany had them all put the diamond cutter sign up. Should we put the diamond cutter sign? I go, oh, awesome idea. I didn't think about it until.
So my kids are still young. Please tell me it gets easier. My kids are 10, 8, and 4. And my 10-year-old daughter, like the sass on her that I didn't think we'd hear until she was like 15, 18, at 10.
You're fucked. I'm telling you now. You're fucked.
Love it.
The shit that fucking, oh my God, that Brittany from 14 to 19, oh my God, she was like, not to me, but to her mother.
Oh, yeah, especially to
mom. I mean, oh my God, it was brutal. It was brutal. But that's where I really learned how to help teach people how to breathe. Crying, oh my God, you're not going to believe. You're like, oh fuck, I'm not going to talk to you. I was living in LA at the time, like, breathe. Oh, you know, there's times I had to fly in, like, get her to fucking talk to the mother. Mother, it was like, it was crazy, man. But, you know, today it's fucking awesome. So, you know, it is what it is. It gets better after that,
right?
But so you got 10 more years of shit,
right?
So you're fucked
before they one day say, hey, thank you for anything. Yeah, buying me fucking everything, maybe. Wiping your shitty diapers,
right? Like all that shit, like you're supposed to. Fuck you, you know. the age of entitlement is like all about today, you know, like,
right.
These kids today, like, when they want the money and the fame now. Why can't I be a famous reality show person?
Right.
Oh, you have no talent and you're famous? What the fuck? You know, but hey, that's the world in which they live in. You don't have to work hard. You fucking just get lucky. You know,
but you were able to instill a decent work ethic in your kids?
Oh, I think so. You know, it takes a while.
Dude, I had a tacos down the street. Girl behind the counter was 9. happily serving people.
No.
My 9-year-old, no, she was, yeah, my daughter's 10, and I was like, we can't get them to do shit.
Well, that's good. You give them everything then. And like, yeah, you know.
I'm sure it is, but they, yeah, you know, she happily did it. It was great.
You know, but for me, like, it was like, they got to earn it, you know, everything. They got, like, you want something? I'll give you anything. What are you going to do for your mom? You know, it was never for me.
Right.
It was like, what are you going to do for her? You know, how are you going to help her? You know, and then, like, everything I gave them, it was like, they respected it, you know? So it's just, it's a different animal. You know?
Yeah, it's, and we're not even.
You can't give. You give. You already have. You're fucked because now you're in that fucking rut.
But here's the thing.
Bad.
We're not like fill the Christmas tree with presents kind of people. We're thankfully, my wife and I see very eye to eye on that. We're very like.
Well,
like
that's positive.
Right. Well, and I think we're rare. Right. I see on social media people, you know, these humongous birthday parties for 1-year-old, right. Christmas trees.
Well, that's not for the kid.
I know. So I'm saying, I think we do pretty good. We do pretty good. And is there somebody behind me?
Yeah.
But anyhow, now I lost my train of thought. But again, I'm still not clear, like, your empire, as it were. Like, what do you do, like, what are you doing besides, like, selling this stuff? Do you have, like...
Dude, we have a whole subscription-based freaking policy.
And is there, like, merch shit? Or like that's attached to wrestling? Or you're not allowed to do anything that says WWE on it?
No, I don't do any of that. It doesn't. I don't need any of that. Like, we've created our own brand, and we've created our own people. Who...
So, like, how did you work it? Because I thought like they just owned your ass. Like, how did you work it that like Vince doesn't own even because, like, your moniker?
Because I owned it before I went to WCW.
Okay.
In every WCW contract, I own everything: the hand sign, my name, everything.
Are guys a lot? Like, savvy enough to do that now, or do they usually?
Well, you know, I AJ Styles came in with his own name. You know, they use a lot of guys. You know, they use their names who would they have. So, you know, and it's been super beneficial to them.
But if he's going to sell, you know, Phenomenal One or whatever, that's theirs.
Well, that might be. I don't know what that deal is. You know, so all I know.
Usually their logos they own. Like the ones they're grabbing.
Well, you got to think about this. If it's created there, it's theirs. It's the way it is. If someone creates something here, it's ours. It is what it is. You know, I let people do their own projects here because I want them. I want them to be creative. I want them to, you know, move. This is like maybe a stepping stone for them. They love working here because it's fun.
Dude, I just talked to the guy from England that was just like, trying to turn his life around, and you end up bringing him over here, and now he lives here.
Right.
That's pretty cool, dude.
It's changing lives. That's what we really focus on. You know, and that's why I don't want to fucking say what I really feel about Tesla, you know, meaning really feel right now, because I told the guy I'd wait another 2 more weeks. And if they don't, well, then I'm going to say what I really feel. And it's just because as far as I'm concerned, I'm the little guy. You know, I'm not the fucking, you know, I'm not the big corporation. I'm a little guy. I'm America. And you shouldn't be able to do that. And we'll see. So that's the way I look at it.
All right. I want to end on something cooler, but I think that's what we got. I mean, I know you're going to go eat dinner or whatever.
Well, we'll end with this, you know. Like,
what is it? Monday? Is it Tuesday night? What's happening on a Tuesday night in Smyrna?
Oh, I'm not going. I'm going down to Upbeat.
What's that?
Oh, that's a great. It was everything's GMO free, almost everything's organic. They're the same guys who did Yeah Burger.
Oh, I love Yeah Burger. Yeah, well, it's my favorite burger in town.
Well, it's friggin' only really it's you know gluten. You can get gluten free. It's
right.
Grass fed. They got a lot of healthy things.
It's called Upbeat.
You know, Yeah Burger. Yeah, it's another block from there. It's their brand new place they just opened. Those guys are geniuses. You know
I gotta interview that guy.
They tapped into.
Well, because there's a gazillion burger places,
right.
But I really like Yeah Burger.
Yeah,
that's like
I wanted to buy a franchise, but they won't sell it. I wanted to bring it to Smyrna, so I'd have to drive all the way down to freaking Howell Mill.
That's far to you, Howell Mill.
Well, it's 25.
This
minutes.
Is East Jesus to me. I live in the city. I'm an ITP guy, but for you, I'd come. You know what I'm saying? This is like Tennessee to me, coming to Smyrna. I mean, I grew up in Marietta, so you never lived in Georgia before.
Well, not 490.
Oh, dude, I got to do... Sorry, we'll do this and we'll get you out of here on this. I do this Atlanta lightning round. All right, you ready? When's the last time you ate at the Waffle House?
Oh, God, 30 years ago.
Okay, what... Okay.
Eat that shit.
Okay. What would you order when you went to the Waffle House?
A waffle and 8 eggs.
8 eggs.
That's what I would have. Back then it was probably 12.
Okay.
Back when I was trying to stay 255.
How much do you weigh now?
230.
You only weigh 20 pounds less?
Yes.
But your body fat is like way, way fucking less.
Look how lean I am.
You're lean as fuck, as the kids would say. You're lean AF.
Yeah.
All right. What is your favorite restaurant in Atlanta?
Houston's Seasons 52.
Like, no questions asked. That's
like,
it. No,
like, if where are we going? I want to go to Houston's.
Okay. And yeah. What do you order at Houston's?
The same thing every time. Not every time, but most times. I get the sashimi tuna. That's, you know, amazing with their salad, their mango salad. Then I get something that my wife always busts my chops about, which she told people, but she's always saying, you would never think this was good, but it's one of the best tasting things you've ever had. I get their grilled salmon with their coleslaw that I put on top of that with their baked beans, which are the best baked beans in the world, and put them together, and it turns into this barbecue-type salmon that's insane.
But that's like your special thing.
That's my dish. And I know as soon as I walk in there, Raj, like he's going to, or Rez, I should say, that's Riz. Riz is going to go get Rezwan. He's going to get it all hooked up here. Rez, you know what I want.
Okay.
Like it's guaranteed.
Beautiful, beautiful. So rank these in order of importance to you personally, okay? Falcons, Braves, United.
What's United? Like
the soccer team.
Oh, French about United, what you call it. So they would be number three.
Okay, clearly.
Braves number two, and number one, Falcons, man.
Are you a big NFL guy?
I'm not a big, I'm a fan. I love to watch. I'm not a remember every player's name, everything. I don't play fantasy football. I've got my own fantasy life. You know, I don't have time to spend on that, but I appreciate the game. Like, you know, like we talked about earlier, I love the game. And I think the hits that they're doing today, I think it's better for the players, obviously, down the line. So I'm good with that. The instant replay can get annoying as shit at times, but you know, it's part of the new game. I still love the game.
Been to the new stadium, the new joint?
I have not been there yet, but I can't wait to go.
Me either. I haven't been yet either. What's the best live music concert you've seen?
Oh, man.
In Atlanta.
Well, you have to understand, I love country music, and Darius Rucker is a very good buddy of mine.
He just played last night.
Yeah, no,
he didn't go down?
He texted me. He goes, "You coming down?" And I said, dude.
You selfish bastard.
It's insanely crazy busy. I'll tell you why I didn't go. My wife and I are going. He invited me, and I got this drunken video of me and him together. And I said, yeah, he wants me to come to his charity thing that he does. He is amazing. Frank Sinatra. Like, and I don't mean imitating Frank. He does the big band. He does Darius Rucker singing big band Frank. He's fucking awesome. And he gave me that CD 20 years ago, and I've still got it on my, and I'll still play it. Like, I listen to Frank, you know, a lot. But I'm a big Rucker fan, Darius Rucker fan, and Justin Moore. I'm a big country fan, so he's not guys.
I would not pick you for a country fan.
I love rock and roll too, and I love it all. You know, there's certain hip hop that I dig too. You know, from Snoop to Dre to Eminem. You know, I like that era where I could understand the rap. You know, right.
Do you not understand the trap music?
I don't appreciate it.
Our special guest just gagged when I said trap music. People down here love trap music.
And, like, I get it.
you are pretty light-skinned.
That explains it.
For the record, he said, "I'm black and from Brooklyn and I don't improve." But didn't we invent that? Didn't trap music did Atlanta? You want to get out of here?
Yeah, we got to get out of here.
Okay,
bro.
Sorry. All right. But, I got one favor. We definitely got to get pictures with the belt and shit. Like, come on. I can't be.
All right,
let's do that real quick. And that is going to do it for the show, ladies and gentlemen. Celebrity Deathmatch. Can't believe I couldn't think of the name of it. Right on the tip of my tongue. Celebrity Deathmatch was the name of that program. And they've done some cool stop motion stuff that this young gentleman, DM, has put together. And you can check out his stuff. So, again, the music you're hearing is a bit of a working project of the upcoming music for this show. And because I just can't wait for things, I'm an impatient guy like that. I'm giving it to you now, and I will give props, full-on props, to the gentleman who's making this music as we go forward when it is complete. I hope you're doing well. I am. Hey, be sure to check us out. We are on Facebook, The Atlanta Podcast. We're also on the Instagram, Atlanta Podcast. You can find us. We're the logo with the red bird and the letters ATL. That is us. Everything online at atlantapodcast.com. Drop me a note. Let me know what you like about the show. Let me know who you'd like to see on the show. And as always, tell a friend. Love you, miss you, mean it. I have got to run.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.